Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening, good evening. I am so excited to be on another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Arthenius Jackson, and I'm with One Touch Transformation, and I'm coming to you live from the great city of Florence, South Carolina. I am so delighted that you have decided to join us for another episode. We have some wonderful things that we like to share to encourage you, empower you, and we hope that you are blessed after hearing something tonight. Before we get started, just want to tell you a little bit about One Touch Transformation, and just in case this is your first time listening. But One Touch Transformation is a nonprofit organization. We are 501c3, but it's a nonprofit organization that raises awareness on sexual abuse. And our mission is to educate the community about sexual abuse while empowering and encouraging all victims and survivors. So we do just what our mission states. We go out into the community, we spread awareness, we go into faith-based communities, go into the churches, and we just share the knowledge that is very much needed, especially in today's time, letting the leaders know how important it is to just simply have the conversation when it comes to talking about sexual abuse. Because there are so many people who are either not informed or misinformed, and because the conversation is not held, then you have so many victims and survivors who are still suffering right in the congregation. There are so many sisters and brothers who are still suffering in silence because they feel like they don't have anyone that they can come to or that anyone they can speak up to. And it's simply because we are not having the conversation. So one of our main purposes of talking about it is, sparking the conversation so that others can find their voice and they can be healed and delivered and set free so they can live life, you know, abundantly and just have that true freedom that can only come from God. And I'm so passionate about it because I have experienced it myself. I am a survivor and overcomer of childhood sexual abuse who suffered in silence for 20 long years, but one of the best decisions I ever made was speaking up. I'm telling you, it wasn't the easiest decision, but it was one of the best decisions that I could have ever made. Speaking up made a world of a difference. Speaking up opened the door for healing. Speaking up opened the door of freedom, deliverance, everything that God has promised us, everything that, you know, he sent his son to die on the cross for, it was for me, and it came through me just speaking up. And so my job, my priority is to encourage those who are still suffering in silence to speak up. And I'm not saying that you have to tell the whole world on this large platform that you got to go in front of a camera and share your story, but I'm simply just saying tell someone that you confide in, someone that you trust. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's not, maybe it's one of your leaders in your churches, maybe it's your best friend, but just simply speaking up can, I'm telling you, open the door to healing. It is the beginning of healing. When you tell someone, it is the beginning of a new journey, a life-changing journey. And so that's what One Touch Transformation is all about. It stemmed just simply from my story of overcoming childhood sexual abuse. And oftentimes, as I've already said, it's not talked about in our congregation. So I am truly, truly grateful for this particular platform of Purpose Kingdom Network, which allows me to continue to have the conversation so that something that is said may spark into someone else, because I don't know who may be listening, and maybe the information that I provide each time, maybe you can take that information back to someone who needs it, because you never know. You never know who is suffering in silence. Survivors, they hold on to their stories for years. I mean, I held on to mine for 20 years. I have met other survivors who did not share their story until they were 60 plus. So it's real. It's happening. People are still hurting. And while we're going even through this time during this pandemic, I know that emotions are on an all-time high. Anxiety levels are up. And you have children who are stuck in the house with their abusers. So I'm constantly praying for those. And I encourage you, if you see something, please say something just in your neighborhood. I've read a couple of articles in the past 2 days of people being arrested for child sexual abuse. So if you see something, please say something. It's time out for being a bystander. It does not help just to keep your mouth closed if you see something going on. You are just as guilty. So if you see something, please say something. Report it. Speak up for these children. Because there are just so many effects that comes with abuse, which is going to take us into what we're going to be discussing tonight, the effects of abuse and of trauma. Those of you who may not know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And as believers, I feel like a lot of times we kind of overlook the mental side. We focus so much on the spiritual side, and we forget about our mental side, our mental being, our emotions, all of that which connect, and we focus so much on the spiritual side. And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't, but we have to remember that we are human. We live in this physical body. We do have real emotions. So we can't pretend that we don't have them. It's good to acknowledge them, because if you live your life never acknowledging your emotions, never paying attention to your mental and your mental well-being, it's going to cause a problem eventually. And so we're going to dive into the mental side and talk about how we can still have, you know, the peace of God even when we go through those trying times that may cause us to be anxious, or the things that may cause our emotions to be on level high, like I said, especially like right now. And as a survivor, I can imagine what other survivors may be experiencing, and even victims, those who have not spoke up yet, just being, you know, stuck in the house for a long period of time, and all kind of emotions are probably being, you know, just brought up into their mind, all these memories. Because the thing about memories is they come at the most inconvenient times and is, you know, inevitable. So memories are always going to pop up, which are going to cause all kind of emotions to come up, and it's going to affect your mental well-being. So, all right, so we're going to talk about how we can tie all this in with the peace of God and the mental side, and being able to acknowledge our mental side as believers, and, of course, tying in the spiritual side. So we've got a lot that I want to encourage you with, and we're going to go ahead and get started. All right, so I want to start off with the scripture, Isaiah 26:3, and I'm reading the Message version. It says, "People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole, steady on their feet, because they keep at it and don't quit. Depend on God and keep at it, because in the Lord God you have a sure thing." And I know the King James Version said he keeps you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. But I liked how the Message version had put it. So he said, people with their mind set on you, as long as your mind is set on him, set on Christ, says you keep completely whole, you're together and steady on their feet. So not to say that you're not going to slip, you're not going to fall, you're not going to have bad days, because you will have bad days. There will be times that we fall. We will have a mental breakdown. I mean, just because you are a believer does not mean that days won't get to you, things won't get to you. Because we're still human. We have this physical side. We're in the flesh. But it says he keeps you steady on their feet because they keep at it and don't quit. So even if you do slip, even if you do fall, don't stay down there. Because as long as you keep your mind on God, you're not going to stay down there. You're gonna get back up. You're going to keep going and don't quit. So that's why he says depend on God and keep at it. Depend on God. You can't depend on anyone else. You can't depend on friends. You can't depend on family. Why? Because they're going to disappoint you at some point. They're going to let you down at some point. So that's why he says depend on God and keep at it. Keep depending on God. Keep trusting him. Because in the Lord God, you have a sure thing. Point blank. The Lord God, you have a sure thing. If nothing else in the world is sure, we know that God is. His word is a sure thing. God is a sure thing. Everything else is going to fail. Everything but God. All right, so when we're talking about mental health, it's a person's condition with regard to their psychological and emotional well-being. So we're dealing with the psyche, dealing with the mind, how it affects your emotional side, how you act towards people, how you just go from day to day. And according to mentalhealth.org, mental health includes our emotional, the psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, and how we act. I mean, that's from day to day. Everything that you do, whoever you interact with, whatever you do, when you're on your job, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends, all of that is tied in with your mental health. It also helps determine how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices. Mental health is important at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence through adulthood. So if it determines how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices, and then it's important at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence through adulthood, think about that. That's why it's so important to take care of our mental health, to acknowledge it, to know that, okay, I know that I have to take care of this. I know that I have emotions. Because you don't want to get overwhelmed with everything. And I know sometimes it happens. But remember, we can still keep our mind on God, so he'll keep us, you know, steady on our feet, even whenever we get the least little bit overwhelmed. But if our mental health determines how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices, those three things, relate to others, make choices, and handle stress, we got to make sure that we have it's healthy. Our mental is healthy. We've got to make sure it's healthy, which means we have to acknowledge that it's there, that we have to take care of it, because it's going to affect how we handle stress. What are we going to do whenever we do become overwhelmed? What are we going to do when things get too hard? What are we going to do when we just can't, you know, take it anymore? What are we going to do when we're offered these choices? Like, how are we going to make these choices? Are we going to make a positive choice or a negative choice? Are we going to make the right choice or the wrong choice? And when it relates to others, how are we going to react to our family or our friends when they come and tell us something and we don't like the way it sounds or how it makes us feel? How are we going to react? So it is important at every stage of life. So not just for us as adults, but even when we're younger, when we're children, even the children today, it's important for them. It's important for us as adults to, you know, teach the children, like, look, you do have an emotional side. You are human. It is okay to feel, you know, those emotions that come up, to express. Tell me how you feel. Talk to me about it. You don't want to just bottle it up. You don't want to just push it aside and pretend that it's not there. Because whether you want to believe that it's not there, those emotions are there. I used to say all the time, oh, I'm not an emotional person. I was only fooling myself. I just don't like to show emotions. That would have been a better way to say it. But how many times have you heard people say, oh, I'm not an emotional person. Nothing phases me. Nothing bothers me. It's got to be something. And it may not be the extreme, But there are something, if you are human, there are going to be some things that kind of, you know, get to you. And I'm not saying you have to react to everything that bothers you. Or you know, it's all about how you respond. Whatever mental state that you're in is going to determine how you respond to the things that go on in your life, that happens to you. The stress, how you relate to others, and the choices. So even though we are affected by, you know, the things that happen to us mentally and emotionally, it doesn't mean that we have to react. It doesn't mean we have to go off the handle. But that's why it's important to know your mental state and to make sure that it is in a healthy state. So over the course of your life, if you experience mental health problems, your thinking, your mood and behavior, all of that can be affected. And many factors contribute to mental health problems, such as, you know, we do have some biological factors, such as the genes or the brain chemistry, the things that are passed along, you know, through generations. Life experiences, such as trauma and abuse, and family history of mental health problems. And again, these are things that we don't like to talk about. It has such a stigma about it. But it is what it is. Look, I'm trying to have a peace of mind. And if it means acknowledging what I feel or how I feel when things occur or when my emotions just try to overtake me, then I'd rather acknowledge it so I can have a peace of mind. Does not mean that I don't have a relationship with God. Does not mean that I don't trust him. Because I can still reflect back to that scripture. It says I can still keep my mind on God so that he can keep me steady on my feet. So I can still, you know, have my mind, have the mind of Christ and have the emotional side. Because like I said, we are human. So now let's focus on the second point, which was the life experiences. Traumas or abuse. And so when you look up the definition of trauma, it says that is a disturbing experience. Just a disturbing experience. Something that just comes in your life and disturbs what you got going on. I was doing fine until I was disturbed. Now, there are some traumas that, you know, could be extreme. And then you have some that are not so extreme. But a trauma is a trauma. And I don't care who you are. Everyone, some type of trauma. Many people experience, like, different types of trauma throughout life. And I want to give an example just in case you might be saying, well, I've never been through any trauma. I've never experienced it. That didn't happen to me. I've never been abused, none of that. So that does not apply to me. But let me tell you what someone taught me. As a matter of fact, it was a chiropractor that I was going to. And I think it was one of the very first times I had chiropractic care. But I was informed that from the time we come out of our mother's womb, we experience trauma physically. Just think about it. You're growing in your mother's womb for a period of time, and then you're forced out of a very small space, and then the doctors pull us out. Now think about the vertebrae of a baby, you know, compared to what it's like as an adult. So that baby is being forced out, pushed out, and pulled out, and it's coming out this very small canal. And, you know, the arms and everything is all twisted up. And you know that, you know, as a baby, everything is still new and still forming. It's not completely, you know, put together. Yes, the baby is, you know, begged the whole time it was in, but the baby is still growing, the bones and everything. And so when you think about that, that alone is just a small demonstration. It's a small demonstration of how we all experience trauma from the very first day we are born. And I never thought about that until the chiropractor told us, which is why there are some, you know, toddlers who begin chiropractic care. Because that vertebrae was traumatized. But that's just a small small scenario that I wanted to talk about, since you might have someone said, I've never experienced trauma. But, yeah, yes, you have. From the day that you were born, you were pushed out and forced out and pulled out. But think about the other scenarios, you know, that individuals experience throughout life and the effect that it has on us mentally. And so that was a demonstration of how we're traumatized physically. But think about day-to-day scenarios, how we are traumatized mentally. So sometimes people feel like just because you're a believer that life experiences won't affect you. But I have news for you. There are several of us who have been affected by traumatic experiences, whether they were extreme or not so extreme. But there are several of us who are believers who have been affected by traumatic experiences. But I must keep referring back to the scripture in Isaiah. Mindset on you. Keep a steady on their feet. So as long as my mind is set on you, you can keep me steady on my feet. But does it mean that I won't be affected by life experiences? Does not mean you won't be affected by life experiences. So we have to talk about these things. We can't ignore it. We can't just, you know, we can't only pray about it. Yes, we will apply prayer. Yes, we will apply all of the spiritual things that we need for it. But we still have to acknowledge that it's there. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it. So before I dive in a little bit further, just want to let you know that anytime that you would like to call in, share on what we're talking about, you can do so. If you're already calling in, if you're already on the line, all you got to do is press 1 and we'll bring you on. But we'll love to hear from you. We'll love to hear from you. But if you're listening online, you can call that number. It's 319-527-6091. Or if you're a T-Mobile user, 323-870-4174, press the number 1 and we'll bring you on the call. I'd love to hear, you know, what you're thinking about this topic so far, how we're tying in God's peace and acknowledging the mental side as a believer. So life experiences, they will affect us. They will affect us. If we were to really look at the Bible, we can see trauma right in the first book of the Bible. We're not going to talk about it. We'll read it, but if we were to really look at it, I mean, just in the first book of Genesis, and too many people may not even preach about it, but there is trauma all in the first book. You've got murder, you've got rape, forced marriages, slavery, I mean, many other things. I can't even go down the list, but do we ever stop and think about how those who were in those situations were affected? Do we really think about it? Now, we may hear sermons, you know, come out of Genesis, and I'm pretty sure there are thousands of sermons that can come out of Genesis. Now, we may hear sermons of how they overcame or how they came out of it or how they were able to become this great leader, or how they were able to, you know, whatever it may be. Just, we'll just say how they overcame. But do you ever really think about how they were affected? To be honest, we just don't focus too much on the mental side, but more so on the spiritual side. But if by chance there was a way to interview a few Bible characters who endured some traumatic experiences, what do you think they would say? Would they just say, oh, I just got over it? Which is one of the worst things that you can tell someone when they go through any, when they've been through any traumatic experience. Oh, you'll get over it. Oh, you'll get through it.
oh, God will bring you through it. I know he will. But we can't always give the same generic response. Sometimes if you don't know what to say, it's best just not to say anything. If you're not sure what to say, just say, look, I'm here for you. Is there anything that you need? But what do you think some of these Bible characters would say if we ask about their traumatic experiences? Take, for instance, let's talk about Abraham again in the first book. Abraham, we know that he was promised a son. And he waited and waited, and he knew that God was going to do just what he said. He knew that God was going to keep his promise. And so Genesis 21, 1 through 5, this is when, you know, he's going to give him his son. So now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. See, right here we see God holding up his end of the deal. So Sarah became pregnant, bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Keep his word. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So here we see that the Lord blessed him with his son, kept his promise, gave him the son that he, you know, what they've wanted, who they've been waiting for, the promise. And so then we go over one chapter later, Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. So if you put yourself in Abraham's shoes, you finally received the promise. You finally got the son that God said that he was going to give you. And then sometime later, God comes to you and said, Abraham, I need you to sacrifice your son, your only son. I cannot even imagine what must have, you know, we know that he was obedient, but the other side of me wants to know how he was feeling inside. Now, I don't have any children, but can you as a parent, you that are parents, can you imagine the emotional side of you? It's like, Lord, I know you are God. And the spiritual side of me, I'm going to obey you. But the emotional side of me, as a parent, what are the emotions that could have been going through the head of Abraham? Just think about it. How was he even able to do it? Again, back to our scripture with Isaiah, because we know that Abraham was a true man of God. He was a friend of God, which meant he kept his mind on God, which kept him steady at his feet. So even though he may have or could have been experiencing the emotional side of him crying inside and wondering and questioning God, like, why am I doing this? Why do you want me to do this? Spiritual side of him still kept him steady on his feet and to fulfill the sacrifice. And because he was obedient, spared his son. And so now that lets me know that, you know, that was his only son. That was his pride, his joy. Like I said, I don't have any children, but I don't even know if I can even imagine what would go through a parent's head if they had to kill their only child or any of their children. Like, what state of mind would you be in? I mean, on the physical side, not the spirit. We know it's spiritual side. But just mentally, emotionally. Not only do we have Abraham who experienced the trauma of almost losing his son, you know, not only do we have the experience of Abraham going through his trauma, but we have Job. I mean, Job stripped of every single thing. Job 16 and 2 says, then Job replied, I have heard many things like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. This is him talking to his friends. His friends are supposed to be there comforting him. Like I said, sometimes if you don't know what to say or how to say it or not just unsure, just don't say anything. Say, I'm here for you. But Job, he got fed up emotionally. He said, you are miserable comforters, all of you. Will your long-winded speeches never end? What ails you that you keep on arguing? I could also speak like you if you were in my place. So yeah, this is letting us know that Job is emotional. I can make fine speeches against you and shake my head at you, but my mouth would encourage you. Comfort from my lips would bring you relief. So he's emotional, but at the same time, the spiritual side of him, he's like, look, if you were in my shoes, I would not be saying all of this. My mouth would encourage you, and comfort from my lips would bring you relief. Not only that, he goes on farther down, and he talks about, he said, yet if I speak, my pain is not relieved, and if I refrain, it does not go away. Surely, God, you have worn me out. You have devastated my entire household. You shriveled me up, and it has become a witness. My gauntness rises up and testifies against me. God assails me and tears me in his anger and gnashes his teeth at me. My opponent fastens on me in his piercing eyes. People open their mouths to jeer at me. They strike my cheek in scorn and unite together against me. Now tell me this is not the emotional side of Job coming out. God has turned me over to the ungodly and thrown me into the clutches of the wicked. All was well with me, but he shattered me. I was doing good, but look what happened. He seized me by the neck and crushed me. He has made me his target. His archers surround me without pity. He pierces my kidneys and spills my gall on the ground. Again and again, he bursts upon me. He rushes at me like a warrior. I have sewed sackcloth over my skin and buried my brow in the dust. My face is red with weeping. He's crying. He's emotional. He's torn. Yet my face is red with weeping. Dark shadow ring around my eyes. Yet my hands have been free of violence and my prayer is pure. My hands have been free of violence and my prayer is pure. So he is letting all of his emotions out in this. And you know what? I'm loving it because we know that Job was chosen by God to be, you know, tempted by Satan, to be stripped of all of this. Now, if Job can express how he feels, why can't we? Very detailed. Like I said, I'm loving it. I'm loving it because it lets me know that even though Job was a true man of God, he still had emotions, and he expressed himself. But at the end, he said his prayer was why? Because his mind was always on God, and it kept him steady on his feet despite what he went through, despite everything that he lost. Everything was just stripped away, taken away. But he said that his prayer was still pure. All right, one more that I want to focus on. Brother David. Brother David. And I have to admit this. I've got to be a little transparent. Before I even came up with the characters out the Bible who I finally realized who did express their emotions, you know, at first I was like, you know what? I was saying this, the Bible don't talk about the emotional side of people, blah, blah, blah. But then I had to, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm wrong. I had to take it back. Out of all people, David was the first one that came to mind. And David, we know it says that he was a man after God's heart. But David, out of everything that he went through, everything that he did wrong, the hiding, you know, trying to just escape after being sought after to be killed. from Saul, you know, David, he really did express how he was feeling, especially when he felt like God had forsaken him, when he thought that God forgot all about him. Psalms 13 says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Have you ever felt like that? Like God has forgotten about you, everything that you've been going through, the things that you've been experiencing. Maybe even right now, maybe you're feeling like God has forgotten about you. So this is David, King David, who felt like this. He said, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" This isn't just a one-time thing. He's been having some depression. "Having sorrow in my heart daily, how long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." David, he was depressed. "Lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Again, even with David feeling the way that he felt, rejected, forsaken, depressed, he said, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart, it still rejoices in thy salvation." And he said, "I will sing unto the Lord." Back to our beginning scripture, Isaiah, keeping our mind on Christ, so that he can keep us steady on our feet, God. Despite what you go through, despite every traumatic experience, despite feeling depressed, despite feeling like you're rejected or forsaken, like God has forgotten about you, he hasn't. He hasn't. So keep your mind on him. Even when you're going through, because it'll keep you steady at your feet. In Philippians 4:7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God. When you have the peace of God, it does just what that scripture says. Passes all understanding. You won't even understand how you're still at peace after what you've been through. Shoot, I don't even understand some days how I am at peace, but I'm glad that I am at peace. And I don't have to understand it at this point. I'm just glad that I do have the peace of God. Your friends and your family, they may not understand how you're still at peace. During this time where anxiety levels are on an all-time high, where there are so many emotions going on, where the state of mind of people are just, you know, sporadic, people are not going to understand, how are you still at peace during this time? Maybe you're asking yourself, how in the world am I still at peace during this time? But he says, it's the peace of God. My mind is on God. Even when I'm going through, even when I'm sorrowful, even when I'm depressed, I realize that there is an emotional side. I realize that as long as I keep my mind on God, even when I'm, you know, affected by these things, these experiences, and when my emotions, and when they do come about, it's okay to acknowledge them. It's okay to express how I feel. It's okay to talk about it. You can write about it, sing about it, rap about it, paint about it, draw about it.
whatever you do, you can express it.
I'm not saying just go and speak your mind to any and everybody. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't get it twisted. But I'm just saying it does not mean that you are not a believer, that you don't have a relationship with God. Because I have given these three examples tonight, Abraham, Job, who just let it all out, and David, how they expressed how they felt during those times.
Trouble is going to come.
It's not going to be easy every day. But just remember, as long as you keep your mind on God, He will give you that peace which passes all understanding, everything. And so at this time, I would like to sing a little piece talking about the trouble that will come in our life. Like I said, we can't escape trouble. And we know that it doesn't last forever. It doesn't last. But it'll get better. It will get better after a while.
Can't promise you no pain, no tears, oh no. Can't say you'll never be lonely again, my friends. But you see, there's a remedy to someone who's got everything you need. And if you hear what I'm saying, I'm sure you'll agree that trouble ain't gonna be here every day. Even though sometimes it seems like it won't go away. And after you've done all that you know how, just to keep from breaking down, just believe it's gonna get much better after a while. Sometimes I sit back and ask, think about where I've been and where I am right now. I wasn't quite sure you could hear me calling, but you were there to catch me when I was falling. So trouble ain't gonna be here every day. Even though sometimes it seems like it won't go away. And after you've done all that you know how, just to keep from breaking down, just believe it's gonna get much better after a while. Oh, trouble ain't gonna be here every day. Even though sometimes it seems like it won't go away. And after you've done all that you know how, just to keep from breaking down, just believe it's gonna get much better after a while. 'Cause sometimes we may just wanna cry, then you tell me it's gonna be alright. You can't go through life living problem free, but you gotta keep the faith and you gotta believe. So the next time you're in a little frustration and you're going through a bad situation, remind yourself that it won't last so long. Soon it will be over and you'll be moving on. Trouble ain't gonna be here every day. Even though sometimes it seems like it won't go away. And after you've done all that you know how, just to keep from breaking down, just believe it's gonna get much better after a while. 'Cause trouble ain't gonna be here every day, oh no. Sometimes it seems like it won't go away. And after you've done all that you know how, just to keep from breaking down, just believe it's gonna get much better after a while.
So trouble is not gonna last always.
even though we're going to run into it, it's inevitable. We're human. So while we're here in this life, we got to remember to keep the peace of God in us and keep our mind on God so that he can give us the peace that we need. Amen. Amen. So at this time, I would like to offer prayer or offer salvation to anyone who may be listening, who may not know God, who may feel like you have been forsaken or feel rejected due to the traumatic experiences that you've been through. But God still loves you. He still cares. And he is waiting with open arms. And so if you are ready to accept him into your life, or accept them back into your life, I ask that you pray with me. Father, we thank you and we bless your holy name. We thank you for this moment and this opportunity to even talk to you. God, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, which is renewed every morning. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for sending your son to die for us, to save us, to heal us, to deliver us, to set us free. And so, God, I pray for those who are listening who may not know you but want to know you and want to invite you into their lives. And for those who may have turned away from you but would like to accept you again. And so, God, I pray that you will forgive and that you will come into their hearts. Because God, you said that you are just and you are willing, you are able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Father, I pray for those who are accepting you even in this moment. God, I pray that you just send your power in the name of Jesus, the power that transforms minds, the power that renews their mind, creating us a clean heart and a right spirit, O God. Remove everything that's not like you so that we can walk with you and walk into the newness of life. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Now, at this time, we will receive our announcements for Purpose Kingdom Network. All right. So while we're waiting on the announcements, if there's anyone that is listening either by phone or online and we'd like to call in and share if you were blessed by anything that was said or would like to just share anything that we talked about, please feel free to do so at this time. The number is 319-527-6091. Press the number 1 and we'll bring you on the line. But I do want to take this moment to thank all of our online listeners and everyone who have called in to listen as we talked about God's peace while acknowledging, you know, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. So even as believers, we have to acknowledge and, you know, recognize the emotional side of us because we are human. All right, are we ready for our note?
Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We apologize for that technical difficulty, but we bless God for the word that has gone forward this evening. We thank God for Minister Arsenius Jackson and her continual work in staying on the wall in her efforts to not just speak out against, but to bring awareness to. Although we always talk about sexual abuse, what I love about it, she talks about abuse across the board. So we thank and praise God for her. We encourage anyone out there who is listening, who may have given their life to Christ this evening, once this pandemic is over and things get back to as normal, I guess, as it could be, we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here. for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. We will be broadcasting right here at 9 p.m. with the Daughters of Ruth. Amen. At 9 p.m., the host, Reverend Maureen, can join us right here at www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We encourage you to follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Also, we invite you to join us for our morning walks in God's Word on AnchorFM.com or via any of our social media networks, where we just take an hour in the moment in the morning to read a chapter of God's Word as we get our day started. So we invite you to join us there also. Again, Minister Arsenius, wonderful word this evening, and you do have a caller on the line.
All righty. We're going to bring our caller on.
Well, Sister Arsenius, what up, what up, what up?
Hey.
I must say. You said, was there anything that was like encouraging? Yes, your song was beautiful. Is that somewhere? I know you're an artist. Can I find that?
That's not my song. Let me put that out. That's not my song. That's Mary Mary. It's called Trouble Ain't.
Okay. Well, you heard it here on Purpose Kingdom first. You know, Purpose Kingdom Network. You know, it's going down in the PK. We'll talk. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was pretty. I don't know if I've ever heard Mary Mary sing it. You heard it first here. I never heard it. I heard it tonight.
Yes, off one of your older albums.
Thank you very much. I heard it tonight because that's the first time that I've heard it, and it's a Mary Mary song.
Yes.
Shout out to Mary Mary, my sister. Minister Arsenius. Okay, believe. Yes. I loved it. And you were playing the guitar, weren't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, bless God, bless God, bless God. I just wanted to come on because it was beautiful. Wow, I thought you wrote it. But that's all right, we'll talk. Mm-hmm. You heard it here, PKN. It's going down in the PK. Yeah, because that was nice. I like that.
Appreciate it.
Keep up the great work. Keep up the great work. Love you. Have a good one.
Love you, too. Thank you. Yeah, I want to make sure I put that out there. That was not my song. That was Mary Mary off one of their older albums. That song's always been encouraging to me. But just to close us out, I'm going to give you some more information about the organization and myself as well. The One Touch Transformation, we're located right here in Florence, South Carolina, but we're not just limited here in this area. We go wherever we can, wherever we're needed, mostly on the East Coast. But now that everything is digital and virtual, hey, we'll come to you, a computer near you or a smartphone near you. We have Zoom available, so anything that you need to contact us about as far as even just speaking on sexual abuse, you can do so, contact us about that. We're on Facebook under One Touch Transformation, also Instagram and Twitter, @_ONETT. And our website is www.onett.me. That's onett.me. So you can see all of the services that we provide, some of the things that we've done, not just in the community here in Florence, but just in South Carolina in general, and some things in North Carolina. But like I said, we go wherever we need it. And, you know, with technology, we can go anywhere. So if you need us for anything, please do so. Hit us up. Please do that. And like I said, you can follow us under our page on Facebook, One Touch Transformation, and on Instagram and Twitter. And as I've already stated, it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I want to go ahead and give these two numbers out just in case you need to pass along to anyone. But the National Suicide Hotline, that number is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255. And, of course, the sexual assault hotline, that number is 1-800-656-4673. And the cool thing about the sexual assault hotline, if you Google it, you can also do chat so you don't have to speak over the phone if you're not comfortable, if you're not ready. But do pass those numbers along, share them, because like I said, you never know who needs them or who is in need of it even right now. More information, like I said, can be found on the website, even with rain.org. That's another great resource when it comes to being informed and sharing information about sexual abuse. That's rainn.org. rain.org. And for male survivors, a great website is 1in6.org. So the number 1in and the number 6.org. And if you'd like to know more information about me, you can visit my website, which is arthenius.com. She was asking if that was my song. No, but you can hear two of my original songs on my website, arthenius.com. They are also on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Google, all media outlets. Just type in my name, A-R-T-H-E-N-I-U-S. There's only one, but I think there's only one that's singing. But type in my name and you'll see two songs, one entitled Butterfly and the other one entitled Fight. So make sure you look for those songs, download them, stream them, however you want to listen to them, but make sure you check them out. And again, the website is arthenius.com, and you can find me on Facebook, of course, under Arthenius Jackson. There's only one Arthenius Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Arthenius J. So that's A-R-T-H-E-N-I-U-S-J. All right, so again, I want to take this moment and thank everyone who called in to listen and everyone who listened online. I really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, even though we're all kind of stuck in the house, but I still appreciate you tuning in. And just want to, you know, leave these words of encouragement, just tying in everything that we've talked about, everything that I've been able to feed you. I hope that you were blessed by something that was said. So remember, we are believers. We are Christians. We have an emotional side. It doesn't escape us. Having the emotional side, it does not escape us just because we are believers. We're still in this body. We're in the flesh. And we will be until we die or until Christ returns. So while we are still here on earth, while we're still living, do not allow the emotional side to overpower the spiritual side. I will say that. And how do we do that? By keeping our mind on God so he can keep us completely whole and steady on our feet. And it says they keep at it and don't quit. Don't quit. No matter what you go through, just continue to keep God on your mind, and he'll keep you steady on your feet, and he'll give you the peace that you need that passes all understanding, even when you don't understand it. But at that point, it doesn't even matter if you understand it or not. You're just glad to have peace, and you're just glad to have peace. So, again, keep your mind on Christ. And acknowledge that emotional side of you. They're yours. They will come. And don't feel bad about having them. Don't feel bad about acknowledging that it's there. God still loves you. Express it. Write it out.
It's 10 o'clock.
I'm sorry, that's my computer telling me it's 10 o'clock. It's okay to write these things how you feel. It will help. It's part of taking care of that mental side of you. That, you know, having a positive mental state. So I hope that you are encouraged. I pray peace upon all of your lives. And I hope you have a wonderful and peaceful night. All right. That completes our show. Hope you have a good night. I love you, and God loves you even more. Jesus bless.
Peace.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me. Yeah, I gotta admit it, I'm so committed to winning. Yeah. I will never see defeat another day that I'm living. Why the devil's still fighting my father when he gon' lose? Why he still trying to move him when he can't be moved? The master hater and deceiver wanna see me dead, but I'm alive and live abundantly cause Jesus led. New and daily, so the negativity in my head. I've been delivered from fear, so I ain't never scared. Attacked and suffering, living, learning to love again, and count it all joy every time. That's the way it's been. I pray the fear because I'm pressing toward the mark. Gotta embrace the light in me, especially when it's dark. Dark clouds hovering over me must be moved. I travel through my peaks and valleys like I'm on cruise control. I let them have it, so should you.
Yeah,
Jesus driving, it ain't no way I'm gonna lose.
Nah,
that saved me,
I will not lose.
That saved me,
I will not lose.
Set me free,
I will not lose.
Nah,
the devil wanna see me strong. The devil wanna see me down. I will not lose.
Hate it or love it, I'm in the Lord's army. It ain't nothing you could do that can harm me.
I'm on the mission planting seeds like I'm farming. The devil think he's slick, he think he's so charming. But I'm making sure I answer the call. With God, I will never fall, so I ain't worried at all. His peace carries me when I don't understand. The name of the one who sent me is I am, I am. What you want me to do, it's no problem. Problems that I thought I had, Lord, you solved them. I'm covered by the blood, so I am protected. I thank the just one who died and resurrected, and how I've been selected to carry on his word to the lost and sick and those who never heard. It's so amazing the confidence I have in Christ. I stand with my Holy Ghost swag.
That
saved
me,
I will not lose.
That saved me,
I will not lose.
Set me free,
I will not lose. Nah. The devil wanna see me strong. The devil wanna see me down. I will not lose.